Joseph's Workshop with Father Matthew Spencer, Coast to Coast on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, so James asked Cleverbot, do you like to listen to St. Joseph's Workshop? Cleverbot says, I prefer blues. I'm just saying, artificial intelligence has a long way to go. You know, it's not there yet, folks, if you know what I mean. The Relevant Radio studio line is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters Life Insurance. Employment opportunities to become an insurance agent and information about their flexible premium life insurance plans available at relevantradio.com/Forester. You heard Father Rocky there a few moments ago, I hope you heard him mentioning our bishops gathering for a retreat this week. And it's true, we need to really pray for our bishops. We need to pray that they lay down their lives for the sheep as Jesus does. We need to pray that they are good shepherds. We need to pray that they have the support and the grace and the ability to cooperate with that grace and the courage to do the right thing. I mean, all these things are, I do not envy our bishops at all, the position they have, but at the same time, we need to pray for them and strive to with them enact change, to end the scourge of sexual abuse in the world, frankly, but maybe we can begin with the Catholic Church. So let's pray for our bishops. Maybe at this point you're going to have a hard time in this evening getting to adoration, but tomorrow they're still going to be on retreat. And as Father Rocky pointed out, if you go to relevantradio.com/adoration, you can find an adoration chapel near you where you can step in and pray for a few minutes, even for an hour, even for longer, if you're able to, and pray before Jesus, present before us in the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity. What a beautiful way to do that. In fact, every Thursday evening, I gather with my community to pray a holy hour for vocations specifically, and I was speaking with one of the members of my community saying that we are really going to dedicate this tonight's holy hour in our community to pray for our bishops. So pray for our bishops, right? Let's all join together in doing that. I realize the importance of it, and I know our bishops will appreciate it, and I know they'll realize the value of it when we're all together in heaven, God willing. I did tell you I was going to confess something to you, and then I changed my mind at the break, so we're going to move on to something. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't leave you hanging like that. This happened a long time ago. It was in college. There were probably three or four times where I deliberately missed Mass on Sunday. I am not proud of that. I mean, that's in the whole of my life, you know, less than five times. I mean, I can count on one hand the number of times I've missed Mass on Sunday. And I'm not bragging about that, because one time is horrific enough, right? I mean, we should never commit a grave sin, a mortal sin. In my case, I knew what I was doing was wrong. Why did I do it? Well, I had probably a number of different reasons. I mean, my priorities got misplaced in college to a certain degree. I was raised Catholic, was taken to Mass every Sunday growing up, and even largely when I went to college, I was taking that part seriously. But there were a few Sundays where I didn't make it a priority. And now looking back and thinking, why did I ever think that that would have been a good idea? Maybe it was because I got lazy. Maybe it was because there were certain times where I chose to sleep in, rather than, you know, to make that time for the Lord. I'm sharing this with you. Like I said, this has long ago been confessed, right? Long ago, I had to offer that over to the Lord. But I was thinking about that fact, thinking about, why did I do that in college? Why did I do that? Do you know why I did that? Because, well, deep down, I thought I would find happiness somehow in doing that. I mean, that was very misguided, of course. But why do people commit sin? Because we want to find happiness. So we think, well, maybe if I drink too much, maybe if I eat too much, maybe if I, you know, indulge myself in pleasures that are not appropriate to my state in life, then I'm going to find some modicum of happiness that eludes me in my normal everyday life. And so we fall into sin and we regret it. It never leads to happiness, does it? I mean, eventually down the road, maybe you haven't reached that full point of conversion yet. Maybe you're still working on it, and that's okay. Keep working on it, right? Keep working on it. Don't slow down. Keep striving for that greater conversion and turning your life over to God. But the fact is that all of us, I think, somehow imagine that sin will make us happy and sin will lead us to freedom. I think that was part of it for me in college and those few times where I chose to not go to Mass on Sunday. I think I thought, well, now I'm free. Now I can do what I want. Now nobody is here to tell me what I can do, and I'm a big boy. I can choose what I want to do, and that's going to make me happy. That's what actually will lead me to authentic happiness, is me finding freedom in doing what I want to do. Of course, I didn't find any freedom. Thankfully, my Catholic guilt kicked into high gear very soon after those incidents where I did that, right? And the freedom wasn't there at all. In fact, I became distraught. This was not how I'm supposed to live my life. Eventually I did find that, right? It took me some months to come to that realization, maybe. I guess it's hard to know. In college, I look back and there were a lot of ups and downs, right? Some places where I was really close to God and other places where I was far from Him, as often happens in our life. But the reason I share it with you is I know you've gone through times like that in your own life, where you've fallen into sin, maybe even committed grave sins, maybe fallen far away from God Himself. Why did you do it? Maybe because of priorities. Maybe because you thought somehow it would bring you happiness. Maybe because you felt like, well, I'm free to do what I want. Nobody can tell me what to do, and nobody's the boss of me, and therefore I'm going to do whatever I want. And did that actually bring you happiness? Of course not. It's why you're listening to St. Joseph's Workshop, right? Because you realize there's something more to this life. Maybe you haven't even found that yet, in which case I'm almost envious of you, of what you're going to discover, the beauty of the gospel, the amazing gift of faith that God has in store for you. That, my friend, is incredible, right? I'm not envious of you because that would be a sin, and I realize I'm blessed to have been given that gift in my childhood. It was because of my parents, largely, that they instilled in me that need to go to Mass every Sunday, and that realization in conscience that I had to do this, even when I was tired, even when my priorities were not ordered quite correctly. I still realized this is something I have to do. Which brings us to the first letter of St. John. And I want to talk about this because I felt like St. John was speaking to me directly and reminding me of those sins of my past. I mean, I'm sharing that one with you, right? But many sins in our past that we imagine somehow lead us to freedom and lead us to happiness when they don't. Do you know, St. John says in the third chapter of his first letter, he says, everyone who commits sin commits lawlessness. Everyone who commits sin commits lawlessness. For sin itself, he says, is lawlessness. Here's the problem. When we commit sin, we don't find order in our lives. We don't discover greater freedom. In fact, what happens is we engender chaos and confusion and ultimately sadness in our life. Because when lawlessness sets in, when disorder takes over in our lives and in the world, that does not lead to happiness. It does not lead to fullness of life for me and for you. It leads to great suffering. It leads to great difficulty, sometimes even to the worst despair of all, being separated eternally from God Himself. I mean, it's the evil one who wants to create chaos and confusion, and he does that by prompting you and me towards sin, not to mention his own sins, but prompting you and I to turn away from God's will. But when you and I cooperate with God's will, when we turn away from our sin, we contribute to order and growth of the kingdom. We contribute to the spread of the gospel in society and in the world. I mean, you can just back up a few verses from what I just read from you in John's letter, And he reminds us of why it's possible to avoid sin. He says, see what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called the children of God. You are a child of God. John says, yet so we are. The reason the world does not know us, though, is that it did not know him. Jesus, he means. You are a child of God. And if you live your life as a child of God, avoiding sin, contributing to the growth of the kingdom and to beauty and truth and goodness in the world, you will discover great peace and great happiness. If, on the other hand, you cooperate with sin, fall into temptation, and give yourself over to those things that are not of God, what happens? Your life becomes lawless. It becomes chaotic. It becomes confused, and ultimately becomes very unhappy and very dissatisfying, especially when that turns into an eternal punishment. Let's choose the good, right? Let's turn away from sin. Let's realize that John the Apostle is speaking from his firsthand experience with Christ, who taught him directly how to find freedom, freedom in him alone. Let's invoke the name of Jesus on this great feast of the most holy name of Jesus, and let's recognize our freedom is found only in him, by his name, through his cross and resurrection. Can we become the children of God that he desires us to be, right? Okay, stay tuned for the Family Rosary across America. Until tomorrow, may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.